you hate government, one of them libertarian types, or maybe you just can't stand the president, gun grabbers, or warmongers. Me too. That's why I invented LibertyStickers.com. Well, Rick owns it now, and I didn't make up all of them, but still, if you're driving around and want to tell everyone else how wrong their politics are, there's only one place to go. LibertyStickers.com has got your bumper covered. Left, right, libertarian, empire, police state, founders quote, central banking. Yes, bumper stickers about central banking. Lots of them. And, well, everything that matters. LibertyStickers.com. Everyone else's stickers suck. Hey, all, Scott here. The thing is, I need you guys to help me to get these download numbers up. So do me a favor and sign up for the podcast feeds of this show. You can choose the whole show or just the interviews at iTunes and Stitcher. All the buttons you need are at the top of the right margin at scotthorton.org. The more subscribers I have, the more iTunes and Stitcher will help promote the show to new listeners. If you're a hardcore fan, brand new or from way back, please leave them customer ratings and reviews, too. Trying to get these wars ended. All right, y'all, welcome back to the show. I'm Scott Horton. Welcome back. Scott Horton Show, website, scotthorton.org, Twitter, at Scott Horton Show. Okay, introducing Nasser Arabi. He is a reporter from Yemen, reporting out of Sana'a, Yemen. And he runs the online news organization Yemen Now. That's Yemen Alan, means Yemen Now. And you just Google Nasser Arabi. It's spelled just like it sounds. In fact, welcome back to the show, sir. How are you?
Thank you very much, Scott. Thank you very much.
I really appreciate you joining us here on the show today again. There's some really important news, I guess, to cover from the war before we get to the politics of the thing. Can you talk about the airstrike on the funeral in Sana'a? What happened there, and what's the importance of that airstrike in the context of the American and Saudi war against Yemen now?
Thank you very much. In fact, what happened here in the funeral is a turning point in the U.S.-backed Saudi war crimes that have been here for 20 months now, for about 20 months. This war crime is something that maybe never happened over history, and maybe that will not also happen, because nobody would expect something like this at all. You can just imagine about 4,000 mourners, about 4,000 people in a community hall in the heart of Sana'a, as the climax of gathering, and you see US-backed Saudi warplanes coming and bombing. The first bomb, the second bomb, the third bomb, and the fourth bomb, killing about 1,000, killing and injuring about 1,000. But the others also are also like they are killed also, because the whole place was bombed. I think you might have seen some of the pictures. So it's a horrible. It's something that reminded us of the of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Something also that reminded us of September 11. It's something like this. It's very horrible. It's very incredible. The people we were talking to outside Yemen would not believe what we were saying at the very beginning. I was myself in my way to the place. It is very, it is very near. It is very close to my from my office, and I was in my way to go, and then I got back to my office to report about this horrible war crime. So this big war crime was a turning point, of course. It helped us. A little bit. Yes, it hurt Yemenis. It killed Yemenis. As I told you, about 800 people were killed and injured. Exactly those who were killed, about 200. Those who were injured, about 600, maybe more. the 600 who were injured, about 400 of them are semi-dead, are almost dead, without limbs, without hands, without legs, without it. So I can't say that the 600 who are injured, I can't say they are injured, because they are also almost dead. Maybe that death would have been better for some of them, for most of them. So it was a horrible thing. But the other thing I want to tell you, that this war crime refocused the attention to the Yemen, to the U.S.-backed war crimes that have been for 20 months now. I mean, Saudi Arabia would always, maybe I talked with you in this show many times, and I was always telling you that it's war crimes, always. But, you know, Saudi Arabia had that lobbies and had that misinformation and misleading that would cover a lot of things. But that thing, this thing that happened on October 8th, discovered everything and revealed the intentions of the Saudi war crime here in Yemen. Actually, it was something that would help us now. It would help us. We are very sad, yes, for the people who were killed and those who were injured, but it would help us because the White House started to understand what they are doing. Obama, the American people would know now what Obama is doing in Yemen. They said some words after this war crime. They said it is our cooperation with Saudi Arabia is not a blank check, as Obama said from the White House or the spokesman of the White House. And also they said they would review the cooperation with Saudi Arabia on the aid of Saudi Arabia. Actually, this would not happen. It would only happen if Obama stopped the war crime. If Obama stopped without any condition, then he would help himself, or he would help himself, yes, he would help himself to reduce the sins and the guilt and the war crimes he committed, and he helped Saudi to commit it here against the Yemenis.
Mm. Now, yes, Nasser,
no problem at all.
Nasser, I think it's really important that you brought up September 11th there as the parallel, because, you know, even though it's been 15 years, I think people still remember the shock and the horror of having, you know, in that case, it was 3,000, but still, you know, triple, quadruple digits of innocent human beings slaughtered over politics. This kind of trauma, the way the whole country felt about it, even if you were from San Diego, as far away from New York as possible, you still felt like it happened to you. And, you know, people, it's hard sometimes because there's so much literal space between us. It's hard for people to use their imagination and really put themselves in the shoes, not of the fighter jock dropping the bomb, but of the people of Yemen who were attending a funeral and then had so many of their friends and family blown to bits, who were blown to bits. But that must be exactly how you feel, the same way we all felt after the September 11th attack on the United States, huh?
Exactly. It was, I was like one of you. I was watching at the same time on September 11th like anyone. You know, I love the Americans. I love the American values. I myself, I'm convinced of them. I was seeing the September 11th here from Sana'a, from my place on TV, and it was very horrible. It was like the day of judgment. You know, it's something like the end of the world. But on October 8th, here last week here in my city here in Sana'a, in the same place, I remembered that that event of September 11. Do you know why? Because from September 11 until now, I've been writing and talking and discussing all the things about the terrorism. All the things about terrorism. I've been reporting and writing only about Qaeda and terrorism and about these things. So when this happened here last week here in my city in Sana'a, I remember September 11th. Do you know why? Because I remember that the same people who killed the 3,000 Americans on September 11th were also the same people. The same Saudi terrorists who came and killed us here in Sana'a. But this time, Obama helped them, unfortunately. This time, Obama helped them. If Obama helped them to kill us, unfortunately. On September 11th, they were ordered by Osama bin Laden to go to Saudi, to Washington and New York and to carry out that terrorist attack. So it was something that repeats history, unfortunately. But why Obama is doing this? Why Saudis are doing this on Yemen? Why? I mean, this war crime is not against Yemen now. It is not a war. It is not like any other war. No, it is just killing people. You know, killing people deliberately, brutally, and in a way that nobody can even believe, because it's as I told you, a community hall full of people at the climax hour, at the rush hour, and you come by F-15 or F-16 to kill them. What is the problem? Why? So it is against humanity everywhere. It is now. It is the duty of everyone in the United States, in Russia, in the east, in the west, in the north, in the south of the world, to say no for this crime, because it's against us all. It is against every human. But unfortunately, now United States or Obama administration wanted also to help Saudi. Although they say they would review the aid and the help and the logistic things they give, the intelligence, but unfortunately, what happened is something else. Obama came to the Bab al-Mandab Strait here in the southwest of Yemen, and they bombed or they launched three missiles to Yemen, unfortunately. And this means that Obama was not serious when he said it, he would review the cooperation with Saudi Arabia, and he would stop what he called the blank check of Saudi Arabia. No, Obama unfortunately was using a diplomatic language, and he did not mean it to stop Saudi Arabia from the war crimes, unfortunately.
Hmm. Now, listen, Nasser, there's this article in the Christian Science Monitor by Scott Peterson, who I know as a pretty good journalist here. And he talks about how, I mean, anybody in any society, obviously, bombing a funeral is, you know, absolutely off limits.
After this horrible massacre of the funeral, now we have been for about 5 days, I think, or 6 days. Yes, about 6 days. We are still, every time, everywhere you go now in Sana'a, you still see funeral. You still see funerals in every street. In every street you see funerals. Everyone is mourning everyone. Everyone is, you know, is helping everyone. Everyone is asking about everyone in Sana'a, because it's horrible. About 60 dead bodies still not identified until now. Just imagine, about 60, because there were people not only not necessarily from Sana'a, from from other cities. So I mean, their relatives are not yet here. Their relatives are not yet did not yet know about the they were their relatives were killed or not now. So it's something exactly very very similar to what happened in September 11, unfortunately.
Yeah. All right. Now, there's an article in the Christian Science Monitor by Scott Peterson that I thought is important to bring up here, Nasser. Missile strike in Yemen. Will criticism of Saudis morph into real pressure is the title of the article for people who want to look it up. But he talks about how, you know, in any context, obviously bombing a funeral in any country, in any society, is a war crime and is off limits. But he says that in Yemen, there's another special context to a funeral, and especially this particular funeral, that in Yemeni culture, a funeral is known as neutral ground, where enemies can feel okay with attending the same funeral at the same time, and it's guaranteed to be peaceful because, you know, it's sort of like we don't fight on Sunday in New Jersey or whatever, this kind of rules. And so because of that custom, the place was chock full of all kinds of dignitaries and mayors and representatives of the military and of the Houthis and of other factions as well, and all of the very people who would be most able to make peace and to move forward with some kind of ceasefire and some kind of solution for the future beyond all this violence. And they were the people who were killed.
Exactly. The funeral is very holy thing. As you said, here in this war, if some people were get killed here while they are fighting with the Saudi-backed forces here in the east of Yemen in Marib, they their funeral are being held here in Sana'a or in any other city with everyone who are not with the Saudi forces attending these funerals. Of course, as you said, when someone is dead, he's dead then. He's a human, regardless of anything, regardless of any loyalties, regardless of any affiliations or something like this. Of course, and I think it is not only in Yemen. It's very human common sense. It's common principle with the human. People were in this community home. They were reciting Quran at that time, and those people, you know, the people were just reciting Quran and shaking hands and paying tribute and all these things. It's like a mosque, exactly like a mosque. It's not, but the difference is that the mosque is not like that because it was very, very, very crowded, very crowded. And it's the grand community hall in Sana'a. It is called the Grand Hall. So over 3,000 in one place, and you receive bombs from a war plane. I mean, if this is not a war crime, what is war crime then? It is a war crime without doubt. What is war crime then? Who could define war crime if this is not a war crime? If we know. I mean, from the reactions we noticed from all over the world, from all the countries, from all humans everywhere, we knew that this is a big war crime. This is, you know, why people were talking with us and crying with us, and why? They know that this is something against every one of them, not only Yemen. Why they did this? Why they did this? So it is not now enough from Obama to say we'll review our cooperation, or we will stop the blank check. No. If Obama wants to help, if Obama wants to help himself to reduce such guilt and such sins, he should stop the war crime, the Saudi war crime, and the war. This is the only thing that would help Obama and everyone who wants the peace for Yemen. Otherwise, it's nothing. I mean, silence. Why Saudi Arabia committed such crime? It is very clear to us. It is very clear to every observer that the silence from UN and from the human, the international community over the war crimes over 20 months now encouraged Saudi Arabia to do such a war crime, and in such a big one. Otherwise, it would not have done it at all. But, you know, they stopped the inquiry. They stopped the inquiry. I mean, UK and US stopped the inquiry for about five times, although it was a demand by the UN, by the human rights groups all over the world, by all the neutral countries. We need an international inquiry in Yemen, but Saudi Arabia refused with the help of UK and US, unfortunately. This time, the last time this month, it was in Geneva, the one who wanted this inquiry was Holland, representing all the European Union. All the European Union, not only Holland by itself, but also they refused it. They told it. UK told Holland to stop inquiry, to stop talking about inquiry. So what does this mean? What does this mean? They wanted Saudi Arabia to continue war crime. And Saudi Arabia now continued, and Saudi Arabia did what Hitler did not do, what any war criminal in the world did not do, unfortunately.
Hey, Al, Scott Horton here to tell you about this great new book by Michael Swanson, The War State. In The War State, Swanson examines how Presidents Truman, Eisenhower, and Kennedy both expanded and fought to limit the rise of the new national security state after World War II. If this nation is ever to live up to its creed of liberty and prosperity for everyone, we are going to have to abolish the empire. Know your enemy. Get The War State by Michael Swanson. It's available at your local bookstore or at Amazon.com in Kindle or in paperback. Just click the book in the right margin at ScottHorton.org or TheWarState.com. Hey, I'll check out the audiobook of Lou Rockwell's Fascism vs. Capitalism, narrated by me, Scott Horton, at audible.com. It's a great collection of his essays and speeches on the important tradition of liberty. From medieval history to the Ron Paul Revolution, Rockwell blasts our status enemies, profiles our greatest libertarian heroes, and prescribes the path forward in the battle against Leviathan. Fascism vs. Capitalism by Lou Rockwell for audiobook. Find it at Audible, Amazon, iTunes, or just click in the right margin of my website at scotthorton.org.
Well, I don't know about that. Hitler pretty much set the standard as far as that goes. But yeah, I hear you, man. I understand how you feel. So listen, a big part of the excuse for all this, Nasser, is Iran. The Houthis aren't just the Houthis. The Houthis basically amount to Hezbollah.
Let me just finish one thing.
Sure.
One small thing. The Saudi Arabia on this crime, on this war crime, at the beginning said, we did not come over Sana'a. We did not fly over Sana'a at all. See what Saudi Arabia said. I mean, it's war planes that were seen by everyone in Yemen, not only in Sana'a. War planes, and they bombed 1, 2, 3, 4 bombs. And then Saudi Arabia said, we did not come to Sana'a. We did not fly today over Sana'a. Mm. And then they said, maybe we'll see. And then they said, yes, we were there, but we will investigate after the White House said we would review the cooperation with Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia said yes, we would investigate, and then they agreed that Saudi Arabia would investigate in the war crimes. This is you know, disregard of every principle in the world. Why Obama agreed that Saudi Arabia should investigate in their own crime, in their own war crime. Why the UN would not investigate? Why other people would not investigate? Why Saudi Arabia would investigate in their war crime? I mean, this is something, it's a war crime by itself to talk that Saudi Arabia would, or to hear Kerry saying to the Saudi officials, don't do it again. Okay, and investigate. Don't do it again. This is what Kerry told the Saudi officials to do after this war crime. I mean, why they disregard the human lives like this? It is a war crime also against everyone.
All right,
why
now.
They are doing this? I mean, this is how terrorism is made. This is how terrorism is made. And this is how the hatred against humans is made.
All right, now, Nasser...
You see Saudi killing people, and you say then, okay, you can investigate and tell us what is there. And Saudi Arabia would cover hundreds of war crimes because it has lobbies, it has money, it has... So why it should investigate? Others should investigate. I mean, a UN or any other body from the world.
All right, now, yeah, I mean, obviously it was the Saudis. If it wasn't them, then it was just Americans. But nobody else is flying fighter bombers over Sana'a right now other than them. So there's pretty much all the investigation you need on that question. All right, so let me ask you this, Nasser, about Iran's role. Because that's the excuse for this whole war, is the idea that the Houthi movement, who used to be the rebels... the Shiite Zaydi rebels up in the north of Yemen, they're now the government. They sacked Sana'a. They took over Sana'a and drove the American and Saudi-backed government out of power there. And according to the story, that might have been acceptable, except that they are backed by Iran, and they are a front for Iran, and we are supposedly to equate them with Hezbollah, basically, as another front in... Sometimes they even say, you know, another front in the expansion of the Persian Empire in the Middle East. This is the way they spin it. But I wonder, hey, maybe it's true. Obviously, the Iranians and the Houthis have some things in common, if only their antipathy for the Saudis at this point. So tell me, what do you think is the truth of Iranian support for the Houthi movement?
See, Scott. This is very, very important thing, and we want the world to understand this. Iran is exploiting the foolishness of Saudis. Iran is exploiting the war in Yemen now. U.S. is backing Saudi Arabia to kill Yemenis, to do this war in Yemen, right? Iran is only exploiting it because Iran is a rival of Saudi Arabia. Everybody knows this. But Iran does not support us in the meaning that someone might understand. For example, Iran has not any presence, any military presence at all. Iran does not support even with one bullet to Yemen, because it couldn't do this at all, unfortunately. So what Iran is doing is exploiting it in terms of media and politics, of course. It is also supporting Yemen, because it is supporting, but not to the extent that it is not what Iran is doing now or before is not a justification for this war at all, because Saudi is still, Saudi Arabia has still has the biggest share of influence, the biggest part of influence over all Yemen. And Iran would not ever have this influence that Saudi has at all, because Saudi Arabia is richer and closer, and the same language and the same culture and the same, you know. So Iran would never, ever be able to have the same influence like Saudi Arabia. But at the same time, even if Iran has the same. And if Iran is supporting Yemen 100%, I mean, we are free. Why? I mean, Saudi Arabia should only protect itself, protect its security, its national security. But it should not tell Yemenis what to do and what not to do, and who to be friend with and who not. This is something not acceptable. But the fact is, Iran is not in Yemen. Iran is exploiting Yemen. Iran is exploiting Yemen. During this war, Iran did not give even water to Yemen. Water, let alone weapons, as Kerry said many times. Kerry said that Yemen now has missiles from Iran. Yemen has never received anything from Iran and would never receive at all. Because, you know, the missiles that Yemenis are now using are from the Russia, from the Soviet Union, from the British Union, very old missiles. But yes, from the war, Yemenis have the experience to modify them, to develop them, to make them better. This is something else. But it is foolish to hear Kerry to say, Kerry saying that Yemenis or Houthi have missiles from Iran. This is not right. Because Saudi Arabia knows that Yemen is closed. Yemen is blockaded. How Iran could give weapons or missiles to Yemen while we are blockaded, while we are in this very tightened, besieged country. It is not right. So Iran is exploiting, as I told you, Iran is exploiting the situation in Yemen, yes. And at the beginning, Obama wanted only to appease Saudi Arabia when they were angry over the nuclear deal. But unfortunately, Obama appeased the Saudis by what? By the Yemeni blood. And this is not right. This is not right. This is a war crime. This is not acceptable by anyone. Obama should have appeased Saudis with something else, not by the Yemeni blood this way. Because it is not a solution. It makes only problems for the security of the world and the stability of the world. Not only the region.
All right, Nasser, and now tell me, what's your best estimate of the casualties from the total war of the last 20 months at this point?
Now, more than 50,000 killed and injured. Exactly those who were killed now until the beginning of October, according to local groups here, local human rights groups, 16,000, and over 35 injured. So we have more than 50,000 injured, killed and injured. The problem now is not only the casualties also. There is another thing that people don't know, that people don't outside Yemen don't understand. There are people dying every day, dying of hunger, dying of illness because there is no medicine, dying of hunger because there is no food because of the blockade, and dying of injuries because hospitals are not functioning well. So those people are not counted, although they are in thousands now, in thousands, if not tens of thousands. People who are dying every day. We are seeing them with our own eyes every day, dying of hunger, dying of illness like cholera, the diabetes. Like the other one is the failure of kidney. These are, you know, because of the stopping of the of the hospitals, of the no functioning, no working, no medicine. So the people, if we count these people, we would have about 70 or 80,000, and these are people dying because of this war, of this U.S.-backed Saudi war crime. The other thing is that those who displaced from these people, there are about 3 million now, according to the estimates of UN. Yes, 3 million. But those people who did not displace from their houses, and at the same time they are like in cage, because there is no kind of life saving supply, no kind of life saving things in their houses. So they are like those who are also displaced. So we are in a catastrophic situation because of this war. And Saudi Arabia, unfortunately, is fighting Yemen by this way, fighting Yemen by starving, and fighting Yemen by disabling and by dismantling the central bank, you know. So they are trying to kill Yemenis in any way. So these are war crimes.
All right, well, I'll let you go, but thank you so much for coming back on the show, Nasser, to tell us about what's going on there. I sure appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Scott. Thank you very much for your interest.
Best of luck to you, sir. Talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
All right, y'all, that is Nasser Arabi. He's at Yemen Now, YemenAlan.com, Yemen-Alan.com there for his group Yemen Now. And you can read him on the Carnegie Endowment website and a couple other places. Just put Nasser Arabi in Google News there. You find out all about it. Thanks, y'all. Oh, and you know what? He was busy this week and couldn't do the show. But let me mention this very important piece by Jonathan Landay with his old pal Warren Strobel, now at Reuters. Exclusive: as Saudis bombed Yemen, U.S. worried about legal blowback. And that is basically their lawyers were warning them that they are war criminals for doing what they're doing here. And it's under legal standards that they have set. You can read all about that at Reuters. The great Landay and Strobel team there writing now at Reuters. Again, as Saudis bombed Yemen, U.S. worried about legal blowback. And anyway, so check out scotthorton.org. Help support /donate. Follow me on Twitter @ScottHortonShow. Thanks, you guys.
Hey, all, Scott here. On average, how much do you think these interviews are worth to you? Of course, I've never charged for my archives in a dozen years of doing this, and I'm not about to start. But at patreon.com/ScottHortonShow, you can name your own price to help support and make sure there's still new interviews to give away. So what do you think? 2 bits? A buck and a half? There are usually about 80 interviews per month, I guess, so take that into account. You can also cap the amount you'd be willing to spend in case things get out of hand around here. That's patreon.com/ScottHortonShow. And thanks, y'all. All right, y'all, Scott Horton here, and I got a great deal for you. Anyone who helps support this show with a $50 donation or more gets a copy of the brand new Rothbard book, Murray N. Rothbard book, of long lost essays from 1967 and 68. It's entitled Never a Dull Moment, A Libertarian Looks at the 60s. Murray N. Rothbard, really Mr. Libertarian himself, on Vietnam, conscription, civil rights, LBJ and Nixon, and all kinds of great stuff from back during those times. Never a Dull Moment, and it's an exclusive. It's not available on Amazon yet. It's an exclusive, so far at least, for listeners of this show. So be the first to get it. Help support this show at the same time. Just go to scotthorton.org/donate. And again, anyone who sends $50 on this way, along with a mailing address, and I will get this book right to you. Thanks.